substitutes as they combine to get Chelsea a third. Chelsea in the home straight in the Premier League title race.
Once again, welcome back, Akshay.
How are you doing?
Good. Very lazy. Losing track of days. What about you? Do you remember when was the last time we recorded?
When was the last time? I think it was like a few months ago when we had Liverpool fans roaming in.
Oh, yeah.
So it was just before the lockdown.
I think one match before they actually won the title, that was.
Yeah.
So now they can relax and they can worry about the new season. So we are doing this podcast to preview the next season and assess or give our predictions on what the standings would be like for the upcoming season. Who will be a disappointment? Who will be a star player? Who will get relegated? Etc. etc. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, let's begin. So, first of all, how excited are you to watch football again?
I'm very excited, actually. It's still not the same as like what it would have been otherwise. I think even though like we never used to watch games in person in the stadium, it still feels different when you don't see fans in the stadium. And the atmosphere is not the same, but still I think like people are excited.
Yeah.
But I think it would be like, you would have noticed it even more if everyone was allowed to go in the stadium.
Yeah, the FIFA spectator sounds are not quite as real as the actual hooligans shouting abuses from the stadium. But in a positive way, at least now those fans who went to the stadium are on same level as us. So they're,
true.
So they'll feel what poor people like us feel who cannot go and watch the games. But also I remember, I think, I don't know if it still it will happen now, but I remember Brighton and Chelsea had this pre-season friendly and they started this some campaign to have at least some audience, some viewers in the stadium. That went fine, but since then, I know a few days ago, Boris Johnson, the English Prime Minister, he came up with this law, I think now, to that no more than 6 people can be together in England. So,
yeah, there was expectation that in October, fans would be allowed to go in the stadium, like not every one of them, but maybe some 2,000 to 10,000 fans, depending on the stadium capacity. But now with the new rules, I think like it would not be possible for people to watch games again.
Yep.
But I think like rules are changing quite frequently, and it's not that it would stay by next month. So I wouldn't be surprised if they do something about it. And I was also reading today that they may do like a mandatory coronavirus test before you go in the stadium, and test price.
Okay.
Yeah, they would take private test and testing price would be included in your ticket. And they would come up with a new test that gives you result right away so that...
Yeah, I was going to say,
were like,
otherwise it takes 2 days.
Yeah.
So
Right. So yeah, the test has to be pretty quick, and results should be available right away. And if they can achieve that, then I guess like we could see more fans. But that's still TBD. I don't think like there is any concrete announcement about it. It's just one of the options that is being considered.
Yeah, it's still risky. No one knows anything about this virus. I feel like still, except for like people who are actually researching on the vaccine, working on it. So at this point, everything is a speculation. So you might have fans in the stadium and they might not get coronavirus, but they also can. So it's just like 50-50.
And even if they do test, it would still not be like, I mean, no test is 100% accurate at this point. So
yeah,
even if the test shows you that you're not infected, you may still be infected.
Yeah,
you can spread it to other people. But that's like, I don't think, I mean, that's not a big concern right now. The concern is that the test results aren't quick anywhere in the world, and people are still struggling to get tests. So
yeah, strange times. But at least, yeah, we can watch it on TV with our Peacock subscriptions.
Yeah.
New NBC, hashtag my PL morning that they do. It's starting again. So let's do a preview of first. Oh, actually, before that, yeah, let's do predictions for the new season. So as usual, what are your top four predictions?
Top four predictions.
In order.
Yeah, in order. I think Man City to win the league. I think they would be more hungry than Liverpool, and I think like Pep Guardiola would be really working hard on winning the league or figuring out a way to win the league. Even though Liverpool is still strong, they haven't made signings this season, and you can always argue that you, in order to progress and make some progress, you have to do something in the transfer market.
Yeah.
Because other clubs are progressing or other clubs are making signings, and if you don't, then you're more like the team of last season,
right?
Which wouldn't be the same as like, you know, winning title last season. So, and also defending Premier League title has always been tough for teams. So I don't think, when was the last time
City
team defended? Okay, it was City. Okay,
but yeah, their squad depth was still bigger than Liverpool that time, and Liverpool, I don't have as much quality in their bench as City have, and Liverpool were maybe lucky, I don't know, but that most of their front three didn't get injured throughout the season, or not for long. So they always had, you know, you remember, right? Klopp was playing all three of them, even in even in Champions League and then in Premier League. Somehow they always went through that unscathed. So I don't know how lucky they will be this season. Their first team can compete with anyone, but squad depth is always the big issue.
Yeah, I agree. And also, I think the Messi saga has ended, unfortunately. Like, he didn't move, but if he were to move to Man City, I would be like 101% sure about Man City winning the league. Now it's like, it's not as much of a difference between Liverpool and City, but I would still root City for the league.
Hey, come on, man. We all know, in a wet night in not Stoke maybe, but in Fulham, he might not have performed, so Liverpool could still have won. Also, on a side note, though, I never thought he's going to move. By the way, this is usual for like in every 2 or 3 years. Maybe this was more of a problem this year because of how Messi has been saying about Bartomeu. I don't know how you say his name, but the president of Barcelona.
Yeah.
But I didn't think he was going to move.
Yeah, I mean, I think like the difference this time was that Messi, I mean, it was pretty public and it was real that he wanted to move. Before it was more about speculation than like anything concrete. Yeah. But this time, like, you know, his father went to Barcelona to talk with the president, and also he himself publicly agreed or like mentioned that he wanted to leave for the reasons that he spoke pretty freely about it. So I think that was different, and I was actually hoping to see him in the Premier League, and I would
have been I wanted that also. But maybe I don't. And his release clause was around 700 some million euros, and Barcelona didn't want to take it away from his contract. So does that mean that he'll go for free next season? Or so I still don't believe that even next season he'll be moving, and something will be figured out between him and Barcelona, so he'll stay there after next season.
Yeah, there are elections next year, in March, for the new president, and that could change things. But as it stands now, yeah, he can go on a free next summer.
Yeah.
And if this season goes the way the next season goes the way this season ended for Barcelona, I think like he would be moving on a free.
Yeah.
But if Ronald Koeman makes good changes and gets them playing like Messi wants, I guess, then he might sign a new contract.
Yeah. I think Koeman will do better than the previous two managers that Barcelona had. Mm-hmm. He was doing well with the Netherlands before he joined Barcelona also. National team. Okay, coming back to Premier League, got sidetracked.
Yeah, we digressed, but so we were at City, and yeah, I still think that they would be stronger contenders than Liverpool. For the second place, though, I think Liverpool is ahead than other teams. So I would say Liverpool for the second place. They have pretty much the same squad like last year. They haven't lost anyone big. And they were pretty solid last year, so yeah. I think they would still be challenging for the title, and they may still win it, but I just feel that their chances are slim right now, and it doesn't look like they will sign anybody either within next couple of weeks or whatever the time is for the transfer window. I think it's 4 weeks from now.
Sometime in October. They changed it back to having it close after the season, like, because last season they had a plan, they had something, right? The transfer window closed before the season started, or was it mm-hmm. their plan to do it, but they never did it? Okay, so those are your top two. I also have, it's so hard to, I mean, this is just for fun, by the way. No one can know who will win the title, but
yeah,
I mean, we know it will be Man City, Liverpool, but I'll go with the Liverpool for symmetrical reasons, because Man City won twice, so I'll say Liverpool will win twice before conceding the title. So I'll reverse that order, just to be different. Liverpool to win, and then City, I guess, might get distracted from their loss in the Champions League, so they might have a even greater focus in Champions League, or they just lose all hope because they lost to Lyon in the Champions League, and then perform even, and that will affect their performance in the Premier League as well this season. So
yeah, I mean, they've also lost David Silva this season, and Fernandinho is also aging now. He is still at City.
But I think Rodri will be taking his place, and mm-hmm. then also from at the start of the season, I think they'll miss because I heard Laporte and what's his name, they were quarantined because of they had COVID. Laporte and who was it? Oh, was it Phil Foden? Yeah, Phil Foden also, because of his antics.
They also lost Sané, so I think like they lost a lot of good first team quality, and that might hurt them, but at the same time they already had so much depth that it may not matter as much.
Well, yeah, So that was my reasoning behind them as number two. And then, let's do three and four then. This is very hard for me.
Third and fourth would be very difficult to predict, I think. But it's going to be between Chelsea and Manchester United. I would say Chelsea to finish third just because they finished fourth last season and they have improved significantly this season in the transfer market by spending like more than 200 million. So
yeah,
to not finish in top three, I think would not be considered as a success for them. And the players that they brought in are all like well known, up and coming with high potential level players. It's more like, you know, Lampard playing career mode in FIFA. Young player has huge potential, let's get him in.
Yeah, will he reach his target rating like they do in FIFA or... Right, you're right. So I'll surprise you here. In Twitter, I think Statman Day was doing some poll, and my prediction was Chelsea third and Arsenal fourth.
I see.
If United don't sign Sancho, if they sign Sancho, then they might move up to fourth, but they are fifth right now. And Arsenal, even though they have not signed many players, but I feel like Arteta so far has done a better job since his start. Since he joined Arsenal, then Solskjaer was doing, even though first few games for Solskjaer were really good, were like honeymoon period. But Arteta feels like he's building something better at Arsenal, or like he has managed to change the mentality of some of the players at Arsenal without having to buy any new players.
So the difference between Manchester United and Arsenal, I think, it's that United is relying heavily on players' own quality rather than relying on improving their...
Don't get me wrong. I mean, based on the quality that United still have much better... United still, even with Chelsea signing, I think they have more more stable players than even Chelsea at the moment.
And proven players in the Premier League.
Exactly.
And,
Pogba, if you consider, he was supposed to be, he's still a good player, but based on his talent, he should be a great midfielder.
Yeah, he was supposed to be all action midfielder who can get you goals and also contribute defensively, an ideal center mid.
And they have a good defense, good goalkeeper. They have signed Bruno Fernandes also, who is also a goal scorer and a good penalty taker. That was just a joke.
Good one. Yeah, I think Bruno Fernandes has changed their
mentality
last season,
mostly.
And how they finish the season. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has not shown technical nuance, even though he has beaten better teams than Manchester United last season, but
he beat all the top four teams, I think, last season.
Yeah, there's still question marks over his approach to games, and it would be interesting to see what they do. And Sancho, yes, if that signing happens, then they would be strong contenders for top four. I mean, even now they are, but he adds that extra bit of quality as well as depth to their attack.
Yeah,
they would be in the Champions League too next season, which could mean that they need more depth in the squad, which isn't there right now. So adding Sancho would be beneficial for them. And I chose them for fourth place just because of how they finished the last season.
Arsenal finished better than them last season because they won the FA Cup. So
that is true, and I like the fact that you are supporting Arsenal for fourth, and I'm not, even though I'm an Arsenal fan. It's just that
you went too far there. I'm not supporting Arsenal. That's just my prediction.
Them for top four.
I mean, that's. I gave you my logic. That's my
I mean, yeah,
thinking behind
a good reasoning, and I also see that happening within our squad, where like same players who were like nowhere to be seen under Unai Emery are now like passing it from the back, and scoring goals against top class positions like Liverpool, who are known for their pressing, and we're able to like retain the position even with their pressing and getting goals. So
and towards the end of the season, they're like Kieran Tierney, their new signing, he started to look good also, and what's his name, Elneny, he took over from Guendouzi, and he was playing well.
Maitland-Niles has also
so, but Arteta his
has, like instant impact.
Yeah, but Maitland-Niles, I'm still not certain if he'll be at Arsenal. He like in some articles I've been reading that he wants first team football, and maybe he'll get it if Bellerin leaves Arsenal, but I'm not sure, because I know some teams were looking at Bellerin, even Barcelona, I think, were looking at Bellerin.
So,
depends.
Like, we will have to lose at least one first team player just to make up funds for signings in the midfield area. Maitland-Niles or Bellerin, I think, would be people who might leave. There's also talk about like Emi Martinez going to Aston Villa or Brighton.
Because he wants first, I mean, he deserves first team football based on how he played. So
yeah, I mean, it's
he has a valid reason.
He like we didn't miss Leno, even though like he was one of our best players throughout the last. Emi Martinez was really good on the ball, like playing it from the back. He looked more assured than Leno in that department.
Yeah.
So. And also like saving shots. He was good at that too. So he didn't do anything wrong. And some people are, I mean, you could argue that he's even better than Leno with the way he played towards the end of the season. So it would be unfair for him to like see relegated to bench again because Leno is fit. It's pretty tricky situation, and it would be hard for us to keep both of them. So one person has to go. And I think that would more likely be Emi Martinez who leaves than Leno. He's like, he's on $20,000 a week contract, Emi Martinez, because before this season he was more of a reserve keeper, not even the backup. And I was surprised to see him doing that well. I have Arsenal as my fifth, just because like we still lack one good midfielder. So if we sign Thomas Partey from Atletico Madrid or Aouar from Lyon, I think we will add that quality to the midfield, and we'll have a stronger chance of finishing in the top four. But right now, the way it stands, I would say we'll finish fifth. Another reason is that we rely heavily on Aubameyang to score all of our goals. Last season, he scored, I think, 41%
of our
goals.
He saved you in lots of matches also.
So, he's doing extremely well. But at the same time, like, you get into a situation where, like, you are only relying on one person to score all the goals for you. And if his form goes down, then we might struggle.
Yeah.
We only added Willian on that front, who's a Premier League proven player who can give you some assists and some goals from wide areas. And if Arteta plays him centrally as a center forward or as a cam, I think it would be interesting to see.
Yeah, it'll be good. Yeah. If, because I think he was on, even though he had a very good season last year for Chelsea, he was on the decline at Chelsea, but will be a good comparison if Arteta can get something more out of him in his final years. So that would be interesting to see. For Chelsea, as you said, I also had them third because of the signings they have. I'm still worried about our defense and the goalkeeper situation. So that can make or break. Because I know we created lots of chances last season. Like, our chance creation was on par with the top teams. So the finishing was the main issue, and I feel like we have done transfers to solve that problem. Timo Werner is a good finisher and goal scorer. Even Ziyech is a goal scorer, and Havertz also, we know, scores lots of goals and assists. So we'll see, but we'll see what happens. But defense is my main issue. Even though we signed Thiago Silva, he can be a good leader. I don't know how much he'll improve.
The problem is that Premier League could be tough for players who haven't played in their career in the Premier League, and that would be my concern. But at the same time, like, he was playing in the Champions League final for PSG, and he did pretty well for them. So
he's pretty fit for his age.
So he still has physical capabilities to play at the top level. Yeah. And I think he should improve, but he should improve Chelsea's defense. I mean,
leadership-wise, at least, yeah, because we definitely, even though Azpilicueta is a captain, he's not the type of captain who would like shout at people or give directions. I think he leads by his work ethics. Azpilicueta, he's good with that, but Thiago Silva, I feel like, has that mentality, like a John Terry type mentality.
Mm-hmm.
So if he can have that sort of impact off the pitch, that would help us. And maybe this is me thinking positively, but like, maybe there were not many center backs available anyways in the transfer market of that quality to sign. And maybe Koulibaly is the only one, but he would again be more expensive, and we have already spent so much on Havertz. It would be hard to sign him. But I don't think any other defender who's available can like be signed for a good price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
because you also, even you signed young, like, you on the same level, you have David Luiz, who is that sort of a player, but other than that, most of your defenders are young and like not proven enough, like Gabriel.
I think strong center backs and who can offer you leadership and commanding presence at the back are not available.
Liverpool got lucky, actually. Liverpool also has one strong center back. I think Joe Gomez's quality improves because of Van Dijk.
Mm-hmm. You really need that one player who can like command the back four and has that presence as well.
We know how City struggled also without Laporte last season.
Yeah, City would have finished way further in terms of number of points if they had solid defense, or even just one single defender who is like Virgil van Dijk or like something similar to him.
Like, I remember, this makes me think of the good old days of Chelsea when we didn't concede a lot of goals with Terry and Cahill and Branislav Ivanovic.
Mourinho days for Chelsea.
We have still maintained that record of only conceding 15 goals in the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
That's unthinkable. I mean,
yeah.
This could be a good question maybe for next podcast, but like, what centre-back partnerships are the best in Premier League? Because I can think of few teams in the lower half of the table also who are pretty good. Like Brighton center half partnership is pretty good. I think Lewis Dunk and the other guy. Lewis Dunk is a pretty good defender.
Yeah, I'm surprised that he's not moving anywhere.
Yeah.
Just because like center backs are so important, and you could see these top clubs actually struggling for at least like one center back. Every team needs one good center back.
Like City signed Nathan Ake from Bournemouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For £40 million, I think. He's a good defender. But yeah, we can see how hard it is. If Nathan Ake is going for 40, Koulibaly and those people will be like...
Yeah, and also in this season where there are not enough funds available for clubs, I mean, except for Chelsea.
Yeah, we were lucky. We have to thank UEFA. I mean, I don't hate UEFA. I thank them for giving us the ban so we could save some money, sell Hazard and stuff.
Yeah, so where we are at?
So Yeah, so yeah, so my prediction was Chelsea and then Arsenal and then Man United. So we were fifth. I think top five works, right? So fifth is the last place for Europa League, right? Or sixth is sixth is the playoff. Sixth would be the I guess the surprise one. I'll put Spurs in there. I think this will be the first full season under Jose Mourinho. He has, even though he has not signed many players, but he has signed good players. I think Højbjerg is good. Doherty is good, right back.
Yeah, and they're still looking for one striker. And Mourinho today in his press conference mentioned that yes, he wants one striker and club wants that as well. But the problem they have had with the striker is that everyone knows that Harry Kane would be the first choice striker and they only play with one striker formation.
Yeah.
So you get a capable backup who's happy to sit on the bench. Isn't that easy? Like, you know, no one really wants to be like recognized backup option and be that good as they expect, because Kane has had some injury concerns over last two seasons where he had spent like 1 or sometimes 2 months away from the first team. They're lucky to have like Heung-min Son and Lucas Moura type of players who can also play centrally if required, and they're like equally as good as wingers. But they really struggle in that backup striker department.
And Mourinho likes to play with that system with one striker also up front. Mm-hmm. So they need someone like Harry Kane, another one, which they don't have right now.
Right.
Like Son is more of a get-behind type striker, and so same as Lucas Moura. Mm-hmm.
You need more of that target man and
who
can hold the ball up.
Diego Costa type. Giroud or Diego Costa, those type of players.
Right, yeah.
I know people have been talking about this All or Nothing documentary on Amazon. Mm-hmm. This time they had Spurs. But I saw some episode, but I feel like I enjoy the entertainment part of it because Mourinho's stuff is very entertaining. But I always come back to this idea, this thought that this is all still staged or edited for the camera. They would not reveal their tactics in front of the camera, right? Obviously. So sometimes it appears like, oh, this is a very simple instruction that he's saying, but obviously he has done some other talk behind the camera about the internals of system. So I don't enjoy watching it.
Yeah, the thing is like, they will know that they're being watched camera, and also like they're not stupid enough to release everything that they have recorded. So even though like they're recording everything, they may not like release everything in their final version of the documentary.
And I know some people take it the wrong way. I know Mourinho has become somewhat of a bad figure, but he's still a good manager, and some people I know, based on just that documentary, think that, oh, he's giving very strange instructions, these are really terrible instructions, that this is why he's not a good manager. But then I don't think that's the I think it's because of how this video or this documentary has been edited, it appears that way. So let's do relegation. Is really tough for me. I looked at the table and teams, and it was really tough for me to decide.
Yeah, it always is.
No, I mean, at least
I remember like last season, many people had Sheffield United.
But it was not tough to say at that point that they'll get relegated. Like right now, I'm even finding it tough to say what, like, the most team that looks in trouble is West Ham, actually, because of the off-field stuff that's been happening. I don't know if you heard about one of their players, young players who got sold to West Brom, and Mark Noble got angry at that. So, like, the off-field stuff makes me think maybe West Ham, it's time for West Ham. Good.
Yeah, they're having all sorts of trouble.
Yeah.
Off the pitch, as well as on the pitch, they were not good. They were saved by some really good performances by Mikel Antonio towards the end of the season. Otherwise, and their new signing, Soucek. Otherwise, they would be relegated already. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they could be contenders for relegation for sure, and they will be fighting for staying up in the league this season.
They haven't signed many players, right?
No, they haven't signed, and the fact that Haller's signing didn't work that well for them. They spent a lot last season.
He got injured also.
Bringing him in, yeah, right. And Felipe Anderson also had a really good start in the Premier League, but now he's struggling and he's not doing enough.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like all shambles for them. Socek is a good player and a good signing for them, who can give them extra bit of physical presence in the midfield.
Good fantasy pick also, Socek.
Yeah, I think I have him in my team as well.
He's like 6'4".
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're comparing him to Fellaini. Even David Moyes said that if he does.
Oh, Fellaini, David Moyes player, man.
Yeah.
He's when he looks at Socek, finds Fellaini in there. But yeah, West Ham is my one of the pick. I'll give you two other, and then you can give yours. So I had West Ham, and then rest two are guesses or just throw in the dark for me. But I'll go with poor Fulham again. It happened with them last 2 years ago, but I don't know. I'll just, even though they are a better team than 2 years ago, I'll still go with them. And the third pick would be, I want to go with Newcastle, but they have done some good signings. They have their combination of Ryan Fraser and Callum Wilson now.
Yeah, that's a pretty solid combination.
Yeah. So
to have, and Sam Maximan is also doing well for them. Yeah. And now with
have someone to finish.
Callum Wilson and
Joe Linton and didn't work out for them. So Callum Wilson is definitely a better striker. So, yeah, it's really hard for me. Okay, give me your three, then I'll think of the other one.
So, I also had Fulham in there.
Okay.
And my other pick was West Brom.
West Brom, okay.
And who else you had? So, Fulham, West Brom, and West Ham I would also consider for relegation, but I think it's just because of David Moyes, they may be able to survive this season. And I would go with Aston Villa as my pick because they barely managed to survive last season, and it would be tough for them to finish. They would be still relying on Jack Grealish this season, and I'm surprised that he hasn't left, but just being in the Premier League has helped them keep him, I guess, and there are no strong rumors suggesting that he might leave this season.
Yeah, but Aston Villa did finish the season strongly. I think they had some good results.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, depends. I maybe we'll have to wait until the transfer window finishes. Maybe if they manage to sign some good. I think they are still lacking in the striker department because they had some two or three strikers, but none of them really worked out as.
Yep.
Much as they expected, they had Davis and Samata.
Yeah, the striking department is a worry.
But depends. Yeah, let's see. Maybe for now I'll put Aston Villa in there. So my pick would be Aston Villa, West Ham, and Fulham. Yeah. West Brom.
I was also tempted to say Brighton in there just because they don't really do anything flashy. They're just there, and they manage to somehow get some clean sheets under their belt, maybe a win here and there against a strong opposition, and manage to collect points.
Yeah, they have a good defense though. They have one of the tallest defense in the Premier League, I think. Brighton. Don't they score a lot of goals from corners and set pieces?
Last season, I think.
But West Brom I didn't pick because they play really good attacking football. They were the joint highest goal scorers along with Leeds in the Championship last season.
Mm-hmm.
And Slaven Bilic is the attacking manager. We know what he did at West Ham. I feel he's a better manager than what Fulham have. Scott Parker, I think, is Fulham's manager. So West Brom I didn't pick. Okay, let's do the surprise one. Just because of the hype surrounding him, I feel like Leeds would be the surprise team around Bielsa.
Yeah, I think like it can go either way for Leeds. I think they may be...
They could really become Norwich or...
Yeah, I remember last season everyone was saying like Norwich is going to be like a dark horse in this, and just because of their free-flowing football, but they started off well, but couldn't survive the rigorousness of Premier League.
What's your surprise team then? Is it?
I would say like this time, I think last time also I had Everton, or maybe like a season ago I had Everton as my surprise pick. So I'll go with them again this time. I think they've made some really good signings in the midfield department, and their like striking department is also kind of settling in now with Richarlison being played as a striker, and signing James Rodriguez, Alan and Doucouré really adds solidity to their midfield. They already have Andre Gomes and Dinia in fullback. It seems like they are a pretty strong team, and if Ancelotti can bring them like play his type of football, I think like they may be tough to beat this season.
Yeah, but so I feel like their defense is still not as strong, and even though James Rodriguez is a good signing, but he has not played.
Yeah.
I saw he has not played in the last year, maybe one or two games, or not more than a few hours.
Yeah, players like him have not performed well in the Premier League, actually. But
But
there is hope that he might be able to
produce
something.
Only thing that could benefit him is because he has Doucouré and Allen behind him, or he'll have those. And those two, I think, will be good. Allen has been pretty solid in Serie A for the past few seasons, and Doucouré is a proven box-to-box midfielder. So we'll see. Everton, okay, so you have Everton. I'll have Leeds, or if not Leeds, then who would I pick? Yeah, let's just pick Leeds. I don't think Wolves will have as strong of a season, because they have... There was a lot of controversy around Fabio Silva, the youngster that they signed for £30 million or something.
Yeah.
That would be good, interesting to see how he plays. I don't know, but they have sold Doherty, who was a good wing back for them, and
their manager has to find good solutions now that he has lost Doherty, and they don't really have exact replacement for him, and he was really instrumental in their attack, and he contributed to a lot of goals and assists last season. He was pretty much like a fantasy favorite of everyone. To lose him is a big deal. And but I think their basics are pretty strong, and he is going to stay. Their manager is going to stay with them this season. And I think like they may not surprise us, just because like now everyone expects them to be good and kind of like one of the best of the rest teams, like outside of top six. I think everyone, like most people, would say that it would be Wolves. So I think like in terms of surprises, if they push for top four, then it might be a surprise. But otherwise, like if they just stay like seventh, eighth, then it wouldn't be called a surprise.
Yeah, they might be in the top four because they do, like maybe in the starting half or towards the end of the season they'll trail off, because they're not playing European football this season, right? Because they didn't finish in top six, I think, last. I'm pretty sure Spurs...
They're in playoffs or something, yeah.
Oh, they are? No, I don't think... Because Spurs finished sixth, right? And they overtook Wolves towards the end. And then Arsenal were fifth.
No, Arsenal finished eighth in the league last season. But we got in the Europa League by winning FA Cup.
Oh, okay, okay. So, wait, did Wolves... So, Wolves made UC?
I think Wolves are in the Europa League, if I'm not mistaken.
Or Leicester. Wasn't it Leicester in the Europa League?
Leicester was fifth, right?
Yeah, okay, so Leicester fifth, Spurs sixth, and then Arsenal came because of the... So, yeah, Wolves didn't make it, I think.
Oh, okay, okay.
So, yeah, I was saying...
Yeah, there it will be interesting to see what happens with Adama Traore as well. He played some really good games last season.
Yeah. Wolves have, yeah, Wolves. Who else did Wolves sign?
I think Fabio Silva is one of their only signing, I think.
They also were in the news because of their relationship, or the owner of Wolves, their relationship with Porto, or how the business works there. They are building a Portuguese national team, basically.
Yeah, if you're Portuguese, you got to be in Wolves. I'm looking at their signings. Like they signed Sarkic from Aston Villa on free. Fabio Silva. Oh yeah, they signed left back from Leon.
Kenny Tete.
No, the Fernando Marçal.
Oh wait, who signed Kenny Tete? I'm confused now. Marçal, I don't know about him much.
Fulham signed.
Okay.
Marçal is the Brazilian left back, I think, from Leon.
I remember he played really well against Man City. I don't think I got your sixth place prediction. So you had Arsenal fifth, and who was the sixth European League?
It would be between Spurs and Leicester. I would just give it to Spurs just because it's Mourinho and he knows how to get results. Leicester are kind of struggling.
That was my disappointment of the season, Leicester. I don't think they'll finish as high.
And now they have lost Chilwell.
And they have not signed. Let me correct my statement. They are the team who have not signed anyone of. The only player I remember them signing is Castagne from Atlanta.
Yeah.
Other than that, they still depend on Jamie Vardy up front, which is, I don't know how long he can continue. Even though he's a good goal scorer, but still he's also aging.
Yeah.
And yeah, we'll see. I think Leicester are my surprise package in the other negative side for the season.
Mm-hmm.
So you have Leicester or Spurs in sixth.
Yeah. I can change my prediction to be Everton. It would be between Spurs and Everton for sixth.
No Wolves.
I'll take out Leicester, take out Wolves, yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Everton,
they're kind of strange team. Like somehow they're always like
every time they look like they can do much better, but then
they have Calvert-Lewin performing pretty well for some parts of last season.
Yeah,
Richarlison played well, but yeah, they never actually like do it consistently. Like they pull off like two good results here and there, but then they revert to type when they play against smaller teams, I think.
Yeah, and they need a better player on the right wing side also, I think, like an upgrade on Walcott.
Yeah, their wingers are not that great. I think they have pretty good central players. They still have Gylfi Sigurdsson.
And Richarlison can play as a winger on the left at least, but on the right, they definitely...
They have like ex-Arsenal wingers in Iwobi and Walcott.
Yeah. They have not turned out to be... I mean, Walcott has improved, definitely, but not to the level that they were expecting. We'll see. Okay, those were our predictions. I think the other topic that's left is the transfers. Who are your best transfers from this season?
Best so far. The only club who has done any business is Chelsea.
Yeah, Everton also. I mean, they have signed a lot.
Yeah, Everton also did.
Most of the people will have Chelsea players in their picks. But also, it's not like they have just gone out and signed anyone. They have signed really good players, and on areas they needed improvement. I feel like They needed a left back, and they got a really good left back. Chilwell, strikers. Timo Werner was the one of the most sought after strikers in Europe.
Yeah. So, only signing that I don't understand is I think it's Kai Havertz. He's like quality player, but I think like Chelsea already have similar players that can give you goals from midfield. I think last season Mason Mount was contributing to a lot of goals.
But he plays, so Lampard plays him as a winger mostly because with the signing of Ziyech, maybe Mount will start playing again as
well. Yeah, they've also signed Ziyech as well. So it's more like they could have not done at least one more attacking, or like they could have gone with some defensive option rather than signing the extra attackers. Overall, I think it's a pretty solid business, and they will be expected to perform. Ideally, they should be challenging for the title.
Yeah, but that's what I was saying. They, based on the quality, I mean, maybe because Lampard is still a new manager, I would not expect them to win, but like maybe if you hand this team to Guardiola or Klopp, they'll win the title. That's what I was saying. But yeah, you're right. We need more cover in defense, and goalkeeper is still a liability. But we'll have the Rene at goalkeeper, Edouard Mendy, by next week. He'll definitely at least challenge Kepa to improve. And regarding Kai Havertz, I think it's never a wrong choice if you have, like, because he is expected to be once in a generation, like, same level as Jadon Sancho or those young players. So, I mean, plus this would be the only market I think Chelsea were at an advantage than Man City, even Man City or Liverpool. Because I know Liverpool wanted Werner he was expected to go to Liverpool before lockdown. COVID happened, so I guess
he's definitely a standout between all the signings in terms of like what he can become, I guess. And it'll be interesting to see how their new signings perform. But like many people would be looking at them to see like what they do this season,
and finally in FIFA our Chelsea team's rating would be higher than last year. Because I know we were a 4-star team or 4.5-star team, not 5-star. Just back. Now we have a 85 rating players in all of defense, midfield, and attack.
Nice. Yeah, but yeah, if I have to like pick one signing, I guess, of the season in Premier League.
Okay, let's. Because everyone will have Chelsea in this thing, I think we'll just cancel Chelsea out. Maybe take from.
I think like we should pick one from Chelsea, right? Like just because they've
signed. I see.
More like pick one of that or those signings and see like.
Okay.
Then do one for like the rest of the clubs, I guess.
Yeah. So, yeah, you pick first then from Chelsea.
I would say Timo Werner, just because they lack the kind of goal scorer he is.
Yeah.
And if he can perform to the level that he did in the Bundesliga last season, where he was, I think, second highest to Lewandowski.
Yeah.
In terms of like goal scoring. So if he can reproduce that, I think that would mean more for Chelsea.
Yeah.
And also, if you look at the stats about like how many chances they missed or how many big chances they missed last season, I think he's definitely be the one to watch.
Right. Yeah, I think I'll also have Werner, and just for emotional sake, because I want Ziyech also in that, because we don't have a lot of left-footed players before this season. We didn't have, and it's just nice to see a different kind of player. I think Ziyech provides more flair than all of the other signings we have. So it will be interesting to see him. Otherwise I'll also go with Werner for the same reason we mentioned. Just be nice to see some goals at the end of good chance creation. Okay, from rest of the league then. Oh, we can include Europe. I don't know much about so European transfer. I don't think many people signed much in Europe.
Yeah, I think Sandro Tonali to AC Milan is kind of like one of the talked about signing, I guess. Like he's supposed to be that potentially next Pirlo or something.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, this is all until as of September 11. But if Jadon Sancho signs United, then he'll be the biggest, obviously, talk.
Yeah, right.
He'll overtake Kai Havertz and all of this. But yeah, for the rest of the league, let's do the Premier League itself then, not the other ones. Who are you most, let's say maybe who are you most excited to see?
Yeah, that's how I'm thinking.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard actually. There are not many signings that are eye-catching other than what Chelsea did.
I'm trying to look at the tape, the transfers so far.
Yeah, let me do that too. See if anything stands out. But
so it's on the Premier League page. You can just directly check there.
Yeah, I'm on that page.
On the rest of the league, I mean, Man City signed
Van de Beek as well. Is like one of the good signing, I guess, for Van de Beek, Man United.
Yeah,
he was. I think Man City was also looking at him, and there were other Premier League clubs who were interested in him.
Van de Beek. I think. So I am looking forward to seeing Ethan Ampadu at Sheffield. His career stalled last season at Leipzig. He didn't get much opportunities there. So, and he's a very good player. He performed well for Wales in the Nations League also as centre back. So I'm excited to see how his career progresses. But other than that. Donny van de Beek would be interesting. Ferran Torres.
I guess you could say, I could say Nathan Ake to Man City. Is there in terms of like impact wise? Because that's the thing Man City missed a lot last season. So having him in their defense would be a huge boost for them, and thing like the contribution wise, I think it would add more to them.
Yeah, I want to see how Guardiola improves him also.
Yeah, otherwise, nothing really stands out.
Maybe James Rodriguez, how he performs. Yeah, he has the quality to be that player, but he has not played, as we said, for so long.
Yeah, if he had had like one good season before coming to Everton, would have been great. Then, like, I would be excited. But just with the way how his career has went so far after moving to Real Madrid, the hype around him has certainly died down.
Yeah, only thing going for him is that I think he had one of his good seasons under Ancelotti at Real Madrid. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. What about I think that's all we have for the. Maybe before we go, we should do a quick overview of the European news, soccer news, football news. Barcelona is under. Barcelona has lots going on for.
It's in trouble, yeah. There are a lot of problems. I think Griezmann signing didn't work out that well. They have that issue. Philippe Coutinho now coming back to them, and now Messi staying also. It's good that he's staying, but at the same time,
I don't know how happy he'll be if things don't change.
If
if they have the same president, maybe he'll be playing the whole season, even though he's a professional, but he'll be sulking internally at least, not be happy.
Right, and there's talk of Luis Suarez leaving, so maybe Griezmann can play centrally as a striker. It's just so many questions around Barcelona.
They need new,
fullbacks. Some of their players are aging as well, yeah. For fullbacks, yeah, Semedo didn't quite
and
live
Jordi Alba is aging also.
Yeah, yeah. Gerard Piqué is still playing at centre back. Yeah, Vidal has also left, I think, or rumored to be leaving.
Yeah, those signings, I don't know why those signings were made. They were like weird signings for Barcelona. Maybe the only good thing for them is Frankie de Jong.
Yeah, and they're Ansu Fati, who's a winger, who's like shining for Spain and for Barcelona too. So that's something positive for them. But otherwise, they have more problems than things to be excited about, I guess.
It's weird how things change, right? Because maybe 2 years ago, we were saying the same thing about Real Madrid also. This incident with the... Who was it? Ernesto... who was the manager who quit Spain job to take...
Lepetagoy.
Yeah. All that stuff happened. They were under... news because of all of this.
Yeah, now they have Benzema firing again, and
they definitely need a replacement for Benzema. They have also, although, yeah, I'm surprised that they have their own issues with Eden Hazard now.
Yeah, Hazard, it's rumor. I mean, they're saying that he has put on weight again, and
that news I don't believe
what he will be doing next season, but yeah, he has not performed for them as yet. And they also have Gareth Bale, who's sitting on a huge contract. And,
maybe this will be the season when teams like Sevilla and they can hopefully pounce, try to cause an upset. It will be very hard because of just the history of the league, La Liga. No matter how the season starts, it's always those two towards the end.
Oh, you know what? So now, sorry, I just remembered about Rodrigo signing for Leeds. I think that would be about.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Rodrigo could be.
Because he was like the top goal scorer behind Messi, or like one of the top three goal scorer behind all the big boys. And to see him at Leeds, who want to play football, and having a player like him who's like has pace and can finish, would be really interesting to see.
Leeds, yeah. We'll see if Bielsa will have another cheating incident. his spies over at Liverpool. They have their first game is against Liverpool. That would be an interesting tactical game to watch.
It wouldn't be an easy game for Liverpool
to
kick off their season.
I'm getting more and more
excited
now.
Yeah.
Is that the first
I'm
game?
Arsenal Fulham is the first game.
The more we talk about it, the more I get excited about watching the Premier League again.
Yeah, in almost 12 hours from now.
Fulham Arsenal
starting their season, and I'm glad that it's like early morning kickoff.
So if you didn't have Arteta, I would have said Mitrovic will manhandle your defenders, but we'll see what happens tomorrow.
I think that the defense has certainly improved them by a huge margin.
Plus changing to that three. They had done it before, but under him the three. Man defense is working much better.
Yeah, he has that Guardiola-like play style where your third center back moves to left back and one moves centrally and whatnot. So it's interesting to finally see a modern manager who's applying these sort of new techniques where people can interchange or same player plays three positions in the game. I think Maitland-Niles was playing as a left winger, sometimes center mid, and moving as more like a left back as well.
Yeah, man, this is nice. I'll see all of the games tomorrow. I mean, Liverpool Leeds would be interesting. That's at 12:30.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also have to finalize my fantasy team just because Man City is not playing.
Man City are not playing. Man United are not playing. Man, I have done 15-20 drafts since the since this started. I'm still not convinced on my team.
Yeah, that's always the thing with especially in the first game of the season. You don't really know like who is going to start and who's going to be benched, and
you don't want to be on the negative side also. Like if you pick a player and like if you don't pick a player and he performs and his price rises, you want to have a player that performs from the start. Mm-hmm. Oh, some new people joined this season. I saw in our league, by the way.
Oh, nice.
Gabe Eppenich. Oh, this will be interesting. And we'll see who has the patience to continue this like us and who gives up like, after five games.
I also dropped out towards the end of last season when I realized there's no chance to fight.
Yeah, but at least you dropped out because of that, right? Because some people just drop off for like lack of interest.
Yeah, I was like, I did not have motivation to carry on.
Yeah, Arteta's artistic FC.
Yeah, I was going to keep it only artistic FC, but I thought like not many people would get it. So,
but these are all football people, and everyone would get it. I don't know if many people will get my team's reference. People who watch movies will get it.
Is it on Gilmore Girls or
no. Happy Gilmore was a movie with Adam Sandler. So I have it. Happy Billy Gilmore. This was a good chat. Good start to this. Made me more excited for Premier League now.
Yeah, I'm hoping for Aubameyang hat trick tomorrow.
Yeah, I. If you're hoping for that because of fantasy, you should not worry because everyone will have him as captain, as far as I know.
That is true. That's not good for me, actually, because before, like, I would be, or Arsenal fans would be the only people captaining him. Yeah. Now, I think, like, everyone knows that he usually scores.
Yeah, plus he's a midfielder now. So.
I was surprised that he wasn't getting picked before, even though, like, he had a golden boot season before, and he was always scoring in the Premier League, but he wasn't like hot pick for fantasy before.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, what was I saying? This is just random news before we finish. But I watched this movie. It's a BBC movie on Amazon. You should watch it. It's called United. Pretty good. It's about. So do you know Busby Babes?
Nope.
So you know about this incident that happened where most of the team, first team, got killed in a plane crash.
Yeah.
So it's surrounding that. So it has Bobby Charlton. Bobby Charlton was one of the few survivors from that team. But it's a really made me emotional. It's a good movie. You should watch it. United. Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining, Akshay.
Let's see what happens tomorrow.
Yes.
And
tomorrow,
over the weekend as well.
Sunday and on Monday. Our game is unfortunately on Monday.
Yeah, that is worse, especially to kickstart the season.
Yeah, wait for two more days. But before we go, where can good people follow us if you still remember?
Good people can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And I think even bad people can follow us.
Yeah. Maybe after listening to this, you'll become good. Yeah. We only want good people.
Show some love for bad guys.
Yeah. Cool. Even bad guys can be good. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for joining, guys. We'll talk to you next time. Hopefully, it will not be this big of a break.
Let's do one sooner.
Yes.
All right. Cool.